Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favourite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new Book Trivia Podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the final episode of 2022. My name is Liz, and I'm with my co-hosts, Mary and poor Sam, who can barely talk. Say hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Man, Sam, you're being a really good sport, and I'm sure the audience will understand if you don't talk very much and kind of disappear because you just feel like your voice is going to die out on you any second.
Yeah. Your health? I'll try my best to chirp in here and there, but probably won't hear much from me because, you know, I, as usual, like clockwork, I started getting symptoms of a sinus infection, and it has since turned into this, which is, I'm guessing, like laryngitis of some kind. So, trying not to talk too much.
Yep. I mean, we always will often say that we try to keep these episodes short, but do we?
No, we never do. We all talk too damn much. That's our problem.
Yeah, but of course, that's the reason why presumably you guys are still listening to us. So for the final episode of 2022, how did that happen? I don't know. It just did. But anywho. Yeah.
Why? This is ridiculous that we are already at the end of 2022.
I know. It really went by pretty fast, but you know.
Yes.
Time moves onward and forward.
You think you know what we're going to talk about.
And welcome back to Three Fates Decide.
It just sounds more dramatic that way.
All right. So this week we are going to be talking about...
But just when you least expect it, we changed the game.
One Will Smith slapped Chris Rock.
I mean, we always celebrated Easter.
Harry Potter, the Half-Blood Prince.
So we're going to do another... free talk, freestyle thing, no planned discussion.
At the end of the day, only one thing matters. We decide.
We're going to hit the main highlights.
That is the thing, like what we were saying back in that episode.
Quick recap.
Three Fates Decide podcast.
Since this is our last episode for the year, we decided that we're going to kind of go over 2022 on the entertainment side of things. We're going to revisit briefly some of the stuff we had talked about throughout the year, and also talk a little bit about any updates that may have happened subsequent to when we originally talked about them in an earlier episode. I guess like one thing that I'll mention, because we recently had an update on this, was the Johnny versus Amber round two.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For any of you listeners that, well, presumably some of you guys are aware of this, but in case you missed it, earlier this month, Amber had try to file an appeal regarding the court case that she lost, and more or less, and she owes Johnny quite a bit of money. I mean, technically he does have to pay her some money, but it's nowhere near the amount that she owes him. So,
well, technically, he doesn't necessarily owe that to her. Doesn't all he have to do, because they're taking it out of what she owes him?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think so. I think that's how that would work.
I think that's how that ends up working, because she owes him X amount of money, but he owes her what, like $2 million? So I think they were going to take the $2 million out of what she owes him.
Okay, so then it's like basically she owes him a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong. And I mean, if somebody knows, is more familiar yeah. with that listens to us, please give us, drop us a line, drop us an email and let us know if we are wrong about that.
I mean, it would make sense because she owes him like $10 million.
Yeah.
And he owes her $2 million. So, yeah. Or $10.5 million. And he owes her $2 million. So it would make sense that they would just take off the $2 million and she would owe him $8.5 million because why exchange mm-hmm. money for him to just give $2 million, you know, like, or,
right.
You know, all that. So that's, I do believe, you know, technically she owes him $10.5 million, but because he owes $2 million, it would really be $8.5 million.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, like I said, but if somebody knows that's more familiar with like court proceedings and how money like that is exchanged and when both plaintiffs owe each other, when both parties owe each other, how that works. If you know that and we're wrong in our, I guess you would say, assumptions, please let us know. Please correct us because we want to know this. We want to know these things so we can give the most correct information that we can.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, she could try to fight it, but, you know, is it really going to work?
At this point, Amber, just give it up.
Well, so the whole thing is like she got a new team of attorneys. I think Rottenborn's still there, but everyone else is gone. So she has a new round of attorneys and they are trying to get a whole new trial, not just appeal the ruling. They want a whole new trial because she feels like she was tried unfairly. And like, here's the whole thing is like, it was a jury trial. That was a jury of your peers. And right off the bat, her and her team started making like the jury sound terrible that like, you know, and tried to like, you know, say that they obviously were like, you know, Johnny fans or whatever. Or they went home and they were looking at social media and saw that Amber was getting bashed without any sort of proof that these people actually did that and didn't just take into account. Granted, the millions of people that also watched the trial, me included, that saw her quote unquote evidence that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, you're sitting there saying this man broke your nose, but the next day you were on the James Corden show and your nose wasn't swollen. Like, you had no bruise, like you had nothing. And yeah, okay, fine, makeup does something, but when you're under those bright lights, makeup doesn't do anything. So don't sit there and, you know, so whatever. So she's trying to say that the trial's unfair. However, most of the time in an appellate court and that, you know, deals with appeals, it's not going to most likely be overturned in her favor. And then what will happen is they'll go to like the county Supreme Court, which will then drag on for another couple years. So, but again, I don't know how she has all this money to be paying for these attorneys and stuff, especially since her insurance companies, the ones that she wants to be paying for her attorney's fees and all that stuff, are also suing her as a result because she was found liable. So I don't even understand. And then, you know, she runs away and starts living in Spain thinking that, you know, if I run away from the U.S., then I'm free. It doesn't work like that.
She's not the brightest person on the planet, honestly, at all.
Yeah.
Well, so we'll see what happens with that. But I really don't see it going in her favor. And Johnny also appealed the $2 million. And I don't think it'll get overturned, even though I think his should, because technically he didn't say anything. Yeah. It was his attorney that did it. So, like, why he should be held liable for his attorney's actions when he wasn't the one that ordered the attorney to do it, I don't think he should be held. But I don't know if even that would get overturned because it's more of, like, how the court proceedings went, not, you know, the evidence and stuff like that.
Right. And, hey, you know what? If for some inexplicable reason there's actually a round three, you know, we'll be talking about in 2023. So
yes, we will.
Yeah. So don't worry, folks. You will hear about the drama if it happens.
Always and forever.
Yeah. Sam was very helpful with giving us a link to an interesting list of the 20 biggest pop culture moments of 2022. So we're going to kind of use this as like a basis for how we'll conduct this episode. And actually, funny enough, what we were just talking about, it is number 10 out of the 20 on the list. So we'll kind of skip that when we get there. But hey, for all you new listeners, actually, if you are kind of interested in the conversation we had about the trial that we were just talking about, you can check it out. It's our episode 51. Just as a warning, it's a pretty long episode. It's like probably our longest episode. I think it was like way over an hour, if I remember correctly.
I think it was.
Yeah. So, you know, if you guys are actually interested in hearing about it, it's episode 51 and it's, you know, it's quite a lengthy episode. So you're going to want to find some time to like really properly listen to it. Okay. So some of the things on this list, we actually did do episodes on, or we mentioned them in some past episodes. So if we did, then I will mention which episode we talked about them earlier this year, or maybe even last year, possibly, but not really. It's mostly this year's episodes. So I will definitely make a reference to them. So first item on the list, the Don't Worry, Darling drama, which we didn't really talk about on our show, but it was a thing that at least Sam and I were somewhat, I wouldn't say we were like following it per se, but we were pretty aware of it because it's like, you know, how do you not know about the drama with Harry and Olivia and then Florence and all that?
Yeah.
Poor Florence got like thrown into that mess for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you know, there were some receipts about what was really going on. I mean, you know, I never really, okay, I personally didn't have an opinion one way or another about Olivia Wilde. Like, I knew who she is, you know, but I didn't, like, have any real opinion on her until this came up in the last couple of years. And I'm like, I am so sick and tired of hearing about her. And, you know, if she ends up back with Jason, after all this, I will just start laughing hysterically. Just laughing at it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, this whole shit has just been that, I mean, I know we made fun of personally that some other shit shows going on, but that was a real shit show too.
Yes. I mean, again, to any of you newer listeners, we didn't explicitly talk about like too many specific PR
relationships,
but you know, we did talk about them. Actually, we talked about them last year in general. I'll have to like look up exactly which episode it was, but it was like one of our really early ones. Episode 11. PR in Hollywood, where we do mention, if I recall correctly, we do mention a bit about PR relationships, because one of the most classic PR stunts in Hollywood is the concept of the on-set romance. And the whole thing with Harry and Olivia, most people that are familiar with how, you know, PR in Hollywood works, they already suspected that their relationship was a convenient PR stunt to help promote this movie, because it just so happens that Harry is one of the main characters in this movie. And guess what? Olivia is also a is also the director of the movie. Shocking.
Yeah, I'm so shocked over that one.
Yes. And of course, oh so conveniently, Olivia's longtime relationship with Jason happened to end just around the same time that they were working on this movie. Mm-hmm. And then a few months later, Jason wins a Golden Globe for his show. And it's like, lots of drama, getting lots of attention, reminding people that, oh, by the way, Jason has this show that's nominated for an award. So, I mean, it's like, come on. This is just silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And then on top of that, it turns out there's a lot of on-set drama happening, which we only kind of, which really got spilled over when this movie finally premiered at I think it was at Cannes Film Festival, or was Venice?
I'm not sure.
My mind suddenly blanked. I forget. It was either Cannes.
I think it was Venice.
Right. I think it was Venice. So then around the time just before, like I think by a few weeks before they did the red carpet premiere at the Venice Film Festival, they're, you know, they start promote. They're starting to do the promo for the movie. And then all this drama came out, like on-set drama that I think there were some blinds to, you know, certain gossip websites like, you know, Crazy Days and Nights that implied some stuff was going on. Not that I really paid that much attention to it, but yeah, that kind of blew up during the promotion for this movie. It's like, I just don't know how much of it is organically, like, you know, reveal the truth, reveal the receipts, and how much of it is to create drama to advertise the movie. I mean, for all we know, it could be like they were trying to spin the drama that was coming out to promote the movie. I mean, it's just crazy timing. And, you know, and also the fact that Florence really didn't do a lot to promote the movie. Like, she did the bare minimum. You know, she showed up at Venice. She did the red carpet thing, but she didn't attend any of the screenings and, you know, the press conferences for the movie, which is kind of a shame because she is one of the main characters. I mean, she's, you know, one of the stars of the movie. So you would think that one of the stars of the movie would help promote the movie, and yet she was not really there. And officially, she wasn't participating much because she was working on another project, but you know, that's convenient. And I kind of recalled around that time she was supposed to be preparing for her appearance in Dune Part 2, but it's kind of crazy because Timothy Chalamet, who is of course one of the stars of Dune, was at Venice and he did the full promotional work for the movie he was promoting. So it's like, what's going on here? What is going on here?
Yeah.
And of course, conveniently enough, after the movie finally gets released to so-so critical reviews and, you know, so-so audience reaction, oh so conveniently, Harry and Olivia broke up.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm like...
Yeah. Yeah. That was convenient.
Uh-huh.
Yep. I'm going to skip slightly because since we just happened to be mentioning Harry Styles, actually number 3 on the list is All Harry Styles All the Time. 2022 was definitely the year of Harry Styles, as if the release of his album Harry's House His sold out love on tour and multiple starring roles in films wasn't enough. His whirlwind romance with Olivia Wilde kept the rumor mill running all year long. Yes, it did. I'm not really a Harry Styles fan. I don't hate the guy, but you know, I don't particularly love him or anything. But I will admit, I thought it was kind of cool that he did a mini residency at Madison Square Garden earlier this year as part of the tour that I just mentioned. So that was cool. I mean, it made a lot of fans really happy. So I will give him a lot of credit for that. I will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although funny enough, just a few weeks ago, I think it was on Just Jared's Instagram. They mentioned that there's a rumor that Harry may be seeing one of those Kardashians again. Oh, I forget who was it. Was it Kendall?
I certainly can't remember. I have no clue.
I forget.
I think it was Kendall.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this rumor that they may or may not be, seeing each other is pretty convenient timing that, this happened not too long after, they broke up, Harry and Olivia. I mean, I guess it would be a convenient way to, kind of say, I'm not pining over Olivia. I'm moving on. And of course, I mean, Sam and I kind of, and a few other people on Discord, we kind of speculated that maybe it's kind of a kill two birds with one stone because a thing not mentioned on this list that Sam shared with me and Mary is that recently there's been a lot of controversy about Balenciaga involving other members of the Kardashian family amongst other celebrities that have been spokespeople for this brand. I mean, there's just no words for this. I mean, Balenciaga, I get it. You want to do some really edgy advertising to get people's attention and to give yourself the image of being in the forefront, of fashion and culture and stuff like that. But some of the advertising campaigns are pretty sketchy. Some of the stuff they hid in the images. I had to agree with some of our discussion buddies is that how anybody okayed any of this in their marketing department, I have no idea. I don't get it. I mean, stuff involving kids and child abuse. I mean, that's just gross. Totally gross.
Right? I mean, it's all gross, actually.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll never understand it. It's kind of funny. Actually, I'm scrolling through this list. There's a few of these things on this list that are somewhat connected to the Kardashians. Let me see. What was another one? Another former ex in the Kardashian family is, of course, Pete Davidson. I mean, Pete Davidson is involved in so much drama this year. I mean, he was with Kim, and then there was a feud with Kanye, and then now he's apparently with Emily Ratajkowski, or however you pronounce her last name. I apologize. I mean, it's dude, it's you almost forget this guy is a comedian at this point because he's more known for dating ridiculous.
He's the PR boyfriend.
Yeah. He is honestly turning into the PR boyfriend. I mean, seriously.
And I don't see why. I'm sorry, but the man, he might be, I don't even think he's that funny, but he's not attractive. What the hell?
I'm just confused.
But I'm just saying, Kanye started going off the deep end during his and Kim's relationship. So I blame Pete Davidson for Kanye's meltdown.
Yeah, I mean,
it's all on you, Peter.
Yep. Speaking of Kanye, another messy thing that happened was, of course, Kanye just straight up lost his mind over this year. I mean,
yeah.
I think the man is mentally unstable, and it's like when he comes off his and listen, I'm saying I don't know, obviously. Like, no one knows, but like he goes through these moments where it's like he's fine, and then all of a sudden he acts out like a crazy person. And it's been like this for years. It's just up and down, up and down, up and down. I don't know if he's bipolar or what, but it's like I don't want to say like when he comes off his meds, all of a sudden he kind of goes crazy, but it kind of seems like that. You know, it's like all of a sudden he just like loses it and starts like rambling off all this stuff. But it's like this year has just been like horrible, absolutely horrible. And you just when you think it can't get worse, he's like, hold my beer, and like says something else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like the newest, you know, bit of drama is like him being pretty openly anti-Semitic at this point. I mean, you know, it's
Yeah, he said he liked Hitler. He likes Hitler. He gets why people hate the Jews. He literally had dinner with Trump and Nick Fuentes, who is a known white supremacist and a radical Catholic, whatever, I don't even know. So like literally, and now he's going to try and run for president in 2024. Like, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah. Like,
what's going on?
The world has gone crazy. That's all I can say. The world has gone crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't imagine what the hell's going to happen in 2023 with this guy. I mean, I really don't.
It's kind of scary to think about how much worse it could be, but yeah, he's definitely lost. You know, and it's just sad. It really is. It's just sad to see someone just completely throw everything away. He's lost major sponsorships as a result of that. He's lost a lot of fans. You know, like he's literally throwing his entire career that he built down the toilet. And for what? Like, for what? Because he's throwing a temper tantrum because his wife left him?
Uh-huh.
At this point, and I'm not a Kim fan, thank God she left him because she was probably in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of his ex, Kim, aside from being called out for her Balenciaga, you know, spokesperson work, she also stirred some controversy earlier this year at the Met Gala when she wore one of Marilyn Monroe's dresses.
Ugh, I was so angry.
I mean, you know, there's really no reason for you to actually wear it. I mean, how difficult would it have actually been to find somebody to, like, make a copy, you know? It's like, if you wanted to show up, you know, as, like, Marilyn, it's not that difficult to find somebody who could recreate it. And not to mention, she apparently went through a really crazy diet to make sure she fit in the dress. So it's like, well, apparently you're too big to, you know, wear Marilyn's dresses. And Marilyn was not exactly, you know, a skinny twig. I mean, not that she was overweight or anything, but, you know, she's a curvy woman.
She was very curvy. I mean, she was probably, I know everybody said she was like a size 14, but she really wasn't. I think she was like a size 8 to 10 back then, but that was extremely curvy for back then. But she did not have the ass that Kim Kardashian has. I don't know how the hell Kim Kardashian actually fit into that damn dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's Because again, like you said, Marilyn wasn't a stick. She had curves. She was a normal, average-sized woman. And, you know, Kim has a massive butt.
Derriere.
And, like, thrives on that. And then she thinks that she could wear that dress. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And like I said, apparently she crash dieted or something to make sure she could fit in it. I mean, it's like, again, lady, you have money. How difficult is it for you to find somebody who can, like, just make, you know, a replica or something so you could wear it and not go completely crazy dieting like this?
Right.
Because, you know, it's, you know, okay, regardless of whether you like Kim or not, or any of the Kardashians for that matter, but whether or not you like her or not, it's not healthy doing that, even if it is for temporary. It's just not, you know? So it's like, why are you doing this? Or maybe she just doesn't care. I mean, I don't know. I mean, not to mention, like, listen, she's not, like, old or anything, but girl, you are not, like, some, you know, college student, you know, with super, you know, metabolism where, like, you could very easily bounce back from, you know, a short-term crazy diet, you know. So it's like, I don't know what you're doing with your own body, really. It's like, are you even taking care of it really properly? I mean, I don't know. But anyway, we're not going to drag, we won't drag that out.
No.
Okay, so here's another crazy thing that happened that we actually did kind of talk briefly about. Will Smith's Oscar meltdown.
Ugh.
Yeah. That happened.
Yeah. and as you can see, there's my answer to that. Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, you know, after, like, all the craziness that's happened this year, you actually almost forgot about it to a certain degree. But, you know, it did happen this year, not last year.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that still can't believe that actually happened. You know, and that it wasn't, like, a skit or something. That's just the thing. I'm like,
yeah, a lot of people thought it was.
Yeah, because unfortunately in other, you know, at other award shows, like, they've done, like, weird, you know, stunts for, you know, eyeballs and get people buzzing the next day. But nope, it really happened.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. In case you new listeners are curious, like, we talked about this in episode 47, which was our Oscars controversies. Obviously at the time, this was, like, the newest controversy that happened at the Academy Awards, but, you know, we also talk about other examples of controversial events that happen on the actual show or some behind the scenes drama related to the Oscars that happened. So check that out if you're curious about it.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at the end of it, it's like, you know, again, we did mention it in that particular episode, but, you know, you could argue that what Chris Rock said was not appropriate, but it's like, come on, you know, Will's reaction was equally not appropriate. I mean, it's like, if you really have beef with the guy, you have plenty of time after the show, even backstage, you know, away from the cameras, where you could have confronted him about this. But you had to be on stage in front of not only the entire audience in the theater, but also the millions of people watching from home doing that. I mean, really, you know, you end up not only humiliating yourself at the end of it, but also you are being a complete distraction for everybody else that won that night. And, you know, we're not talking about the fact that Will Smith won an Oscar, you know, this year, We're talking about the fact that he slapped Chris Rock on live, on stage, on live TV. So, great going there, Will. Great going. Another thing that happened was Lea Michele taking over the role in the lead role in Funny Girl.
Yeah. The update with that is that you know, there's some mixed reviews. You know, Lea's joined the cast, ticket sales have gone off the charts. You know, all these different celebrities have gone to see the show. She's getting rave reviews and all that stuff. Listen, Lea is talented. You can't deny it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I've heard, I never saw Beanie in the role, but there's a lot of people that thought Beanie did well. I just think that they just did Beanie Feldstein really, really dirty. And the latest thing that ticks me off even more is that now that Lea's there, they're now doing an original cast recording. It's not the original cast because Beanie Feldstein and Jane Lynch are not a part of it. They were a part of the original cast.
Right.
Of this production. And they now are doing it with Lea, and I don't know who took, I can't remember off the top of my head who took over for Jane Lynch, but like, that's messed up. And like, Lea's been posting about it over and over and over, announcing it all over the place. Oh, the original Broadway cast, the original Broadway cast recording. It's not the original Broadway cast, Lea. Like, you weren't the original. And the reason why you most likely weren't the original is because you were called out for being a racist. And Funny Girl didn't want to put you on because they know people weren't going to come because people hate you. And people still hate you, Lea. You're talented, but I refuse to go see Funny Girl because I don't want to, you know, I'm not giving her my money.
Right. And not to mention she's a bully.
Oh, yeah. Huge bully.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anybody who's familiar with, you know, all the drama involved with Glee, you know very well that, like, quite a few people have spoken out, you know, subsequent to the show, and, you know, for some for some actors, like, who were only on the show for a very short amount of time, they came out after their time on the show to say that, yeah, she was a diva, and she totally bullied me. So,
like, the fact that there's not one member of that cast that likes her and has gone to see her. I mean, I'm not talking about Darren Criss. Darren Criss, I think, is the only one. But, like, Chris Colfer was on a podcast, and they asked him if he was going to go. And he was like, I'd rather torture myself at home. Like, her castmates don't like her. None of them have gone to see her. And apparently, Rachel Berry is Lea Michele.
Well, I mean, apparently that explains how she was able to play that role really well. It's like, you know, it wasn't really acting. She just changed what she wore and looked like on the show and just was herself. So I don't remember, like, did you mention well, obviously you didn't deep dive into it. But I think you may have mentioned a little bit about Funny Girl in your one of your solos.
My very first solo episode. My second one hasn't come out yet, right?
No, sorry. Your second solo is number 74.
Okay. So no one's heard it yet. But you guys will hear it now by the time this comes. That's right. All right. So anyway, my very first Broadway episode, I actually talk a lot about Funny Girl. I don't go too deep. It's more of just like my personal feelings on the subject because it just didn't really seem fair. I really just feel like Beanie was treated so horribly in order to get her off. I think they wanted Lea Michele from the very, very beginning. And again, with all the, you know, drama surrounding Lea during the pandemic and her being called out and being called racist, they couldn't take that chance. So they hired a nobody like Beanie. even though her brother's famous. But, you know, and she just was treated like crap from the moment the show started. I mean, no one even gave her a chance because that's not who they wanted. And they treated her like crap until she finally couldn't take it anymore. She wound up leaving early. And she hasn't really been heard of since. And it's very, very sad. Yeah. You know, I feel really bad for her.
Yeah. Although, like, yes,
first episode, I talk about it.
Yeah. So it's number 59. One small update, though, was that after Beanie left, there was an announcement. I had to like search my emails because I did remember this, but I didn't remember the exact details. But Beanie, I think, was cast in a Ethan Coen movie that he's working on. So, you know, we may be seeing her on the movie screen pretty soon. So that's nice.
I hope so. Justice for Beanie. She deserves better.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know, listen, if you want to argue that maybe she's not the best for the role, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, that's still not, you know, that it's still not fair, you know, to be treated like that, really. It's kind of disrespectful, honestly.
100%. 100%.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So another thing that happened on this, that this list mentions, is Leslie Jordan's tragic death. Legendary comedian actor Leslie Jordan died in a tragic car accident on October 24th. To be honest, like, I didn't really watch much of Will and Grace, so I never actually watch any of his comedic works, so I don't know what really to say other than, like, it is always tragic to hear, you know, when somebody dies, you know, like that. I mean, it's one thing if you're, like, you know, 100 or something and you die in your sleep or whatever, because, you know, there's no regrets. You lived your life, right? But, you know, to be in a car accident and then this happens, you know, that's always sad.
Yeah, no, it was really sad. Like, apparently he had a medical emergency and that's what caused the accident. Yeah. So I don't know if it was, you know, a heart attack or something like that. But I was actually watching The Mask Singer not too long ago, and he was a guest judge on The Masked Singer this season, not long before he died. But no, I you know, remember, like, again, I didn't really watch a lot of Will and Grace, but, like, I remember seeing him in, you know, different roles here and there, and it is just, you know, very, very sad to see someone who passes before their time. And he was just always just seemed like such a funny, you know, cute guy. So, you know, it was very sad. Very, very sad.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. I mean, I did see, like, obviously when, you know, it came out that, like, you know, what happened to him, they obviously, like, those entertainment shows, they include, you know, clips of, like, different interviews he did. And, you know, I did get that impression about, like, how he's just, you know, he really is honestly pretty funny guy, and not just when he's, like, you know, on stage, as it were. So that does make it really sad, especially for the people who really knew him. You know, that's always the tragedy, you know, not just when somebody dies, but then the people that got left behind. It's obviously a real tragedy for them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the big elephant in the room. Elon Musk bought Twitter. And chaos reigns.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Like, the amount of hate speech that's now on Twitter. Like, Twitter was a toxic cesspool to begin with. It's gotten worse. I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, it's just gotten so much, because it's all about the quote-unquote free speech. And, he, you know, he's not going to just suspend someone for free speech, yet he just suspended Kanye.
Yeah.
So how's that working for you, Elon? How's that working?
I mean, it's like, what are you even doing at this point? I just don't even know anymore. Like, what are you trying to achieve here? I mean, yeah, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's like he's implementing all these things. And it's like, did you actually have a contingency plan when you said you were going to get rid of certain things? I mean, apparently not. I mean,
no, everything. And he's had so many advertisers walk out. Like, he's losing money, like so much money on a daily basis. I really don't think Twitter's going to survive this.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? Serves him right. Is that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing at all. It serves him right. And you know what? Not only is Twitter suffering, Tesla is now suffering. He's lost so much money in Tesla because people have, you know, basically are walking away from him because of all the crap that he's allowing. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, well, okay, that part is honestly really is a shame because, you know, Tesla by itself as a company, if you ignore Elon, you know, they are actually trying to do some really interesting things in terms of, like, you know, technology and especially, like, you know, cars and whatnot. So it is honestly a shame for all those people that work in those company that really are working hard. They are the ones that, you know, are doing all the work to make the company what it is. I mean, he's the guy with the money who owns it, you know. And of course, obviously, money is important in a company to, you know, make it run and everything. But, you know, it's your employees who really make the thing run, you know, whether it's you're producing cars or whether you are running a social media platform. So it's like, the way all these people got treated, it's like, it's a real shame. That is the biggest shame out of all this. I mean, you know, it's messed up. The, you know, all the hate speech that's being allowed, all the douchebaggery that's allowed on Twitter, you know, since he took over. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, it's also the people working there that have to deal with this. So I feel bad for them, honestly. I also just hope that, like, the people that did get fired, they are able to find, like, better jobs after this, because, you know, after what happened to them, because, you know, that's not fair, you know, like I said, how they were treated. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, like, I do have a Twitter account, but I don't really use it much per se. I mean, I mostly got it to follow people, like celebrities and whatnot. I think the only thing, yeah, I mean, the only thing I posted is like I may respond to, you know, a couple of people I know that are on Twitter. And also, like, I use this site called Goodreads. It's like one of those, like, websites where you can, like, track, you know, books you've read and try to find, like, books to read, you know, later and whatnot. And they do have this feature that lets you tweet any reviews you post or any comments you post about, you know, oh, I read this book and this is what I thought, blah, blah, blah. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the only thing that really updates my actual Twitter account. The tweets on there is that.
I mean, honestly, I don't even have that. I have it. I've logged into it one damn time and that is it.
Yeah. I mean, if I wasn't, like, reading stuff from, like, you know, celebrities or whatever, you know, interesting people that I follow on there, I would, you know, I wouldn't have even bothered keeping Twitter. I would have been, like, using it for, you know, the first few days that I had it. And then as soon as I got bored with it, I would have deleted it.
Because, yeah.
Yeah. But we will see. Will Twitter continue in 2023? We don't know. But we'll find out soon enough. Okay, so next thing on the list that we didn't already talk about, Inventing Anna Mania. Anna Delvey, the New York City wannabe socialite and scammer made infamous in Shonda Rhimes' Netflix miniseries Inventing Anna, had a big year. The miniseries was one of Netflix's most popular offerings of the year. Delvey continues to attract attention following her release from prison after being convicted on 8 charges of theft and fraud.
I watched the show. It's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. If you haven't watched it, I do recommend it. I don't know if, like, obviously 100% is truthful, but the basic premise is there. And, yeah, I just know just from, like, Du Mois, like, she gets spotted almost every single week walking around New York with her, tracker on her ankle because she's on house arrest. I'm pretty sure she's going to be deported, though, because she's German. So, yeah. But I think she's waiting for another trial or something. But I do think she's eventually going to be deported.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just think it was crazy that she got away with all this for as long as she did. But you know what? The moment you start screwing around with banks, you know, you're going to get found out pretty quickly because banks do not. Like banks, you know, you get a loan from a bank, they want their money back, you know, one way or another at some point, you know. Even if it's like, you know, a 30-year mortgage on a house, it is still them basically wanting their money back. And you are going to have to pay for it, you know. So I don't know what she was thinking that she could get away with that. I mean, I never understand people like this, like how they think they can get away with scamming people forever, or maybe they just don't care, or they're just too deep into it. I mean, I think that's like the narrative that they did in the show, right? Like that she was just doing it and then she got way in over her head about how far she was taking this. And then it also turned into a sort of Ponzi scheme where like she borrowed money or whatever from one person, but then they're starting to pressure her to get the money back. So then she ends up getting it from somebody else. Just to, you know, which only just delays the inevitable. So I don't know. Eventually I'll probably watch it. I'm really bad about watching things. It's just too much.
Yeah, there's so much stuff to watch now.
Yeah. Okay, so another thing that happened, which I don't know anything about because I don't use TikTok, is the jiggle that went viral on TikTok. I don't know.
Yeah,
apparently it's some song, My Money Don't Jiggle, became a thing on TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Again, I don't use TikTok, so I know nothing.
I don't even pay much attention to it, honestly. I watch certain people on TikTok, and that's about it.
Right.
Anything Dylan Hollis related is funny as hell to me. I love watching that man cook.
Hee-hee.
No, he's hilarious. I mean, it's absolutely, it's hilarious. I can no longer say, I can no longer say cinnamon correctly. It's simonym.
Okay, so next thing on the list, the nostalgia of Stranger Things. 80s nostalgia was all the rage in 2022, thanks in no small part to Netflix's Stranger Things. You know, I've been meaning to watch this show. I mean, at first, like, I wasn't going to because, like, I heard it was, like, you know, too horror and spooky, and that's not really what I'm into. But the clips I've seen of the show, though, actually does look pretty good. So, I don't know. That's just another show to add to my to-watch list.
Yeah, no, it was... It's funny. I had sort of lost interest after the third season. I just didn't think it was as good. And this season really brought me back, and obviously there's only one more season, so I'll finish it out, but no, the nostalgia was definitely there. A song from the 80s hit number one.
A couple of them did.
It's hilarious. And like what's funny is like you have these you know, Gen Zers who, you know, got ticked off because the original band played their song, and they're like, oh, you're, you know, that's not, you're, you know, I don't know, like they were playing it at a concert or whatever, and they're like, why are these old guys playing this song from Stranger Things? It's like, it's their song. Like, that was an actual band back in the 80s. Like, come on.
Oh, I know. Lord. I mean, listen, yeah, there are some, like, really, you know, amazing kids in Gen Z that are really honestly trying to do some great things, and I hope they can continue doing the great things, but there are just some of them that are like, guess what? There was, you know, life and culture and pop culture before you were born, okay? We weren't all sitting around a campfire in a cave staring at each other, you know? I mean, come on. We weren't all just drawing cave paintings, okay? We listened to stuff, all right? It's like, come on, reality check here. Okay, so another thing on the list. Takeoff shot in Houston. On November 1st, rapper Kurznik Kari Ball, better known as Takeoff, was killed in a shooting after a dice game in Houston. Okay, I'm not really a, you know, rap listener. I'm not a hip hop listener, so I mean, I think I heard about this, but like I didn't pay too much attention to it just because it's like, well, I don't know him. I'm not familiar with his music, so it didn't really impact me per se, but you know, it's like, I mean, more senseless violence, you know, especially with guns. It's like, I mean, we're not going to get into that, you know, topic, but it's like, come on. How is this sort of thing still going on? And of course, it just had to be like a cliche thing. A rapper gets killed like this. I mean, really.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, when is this going to end? Apparently not anytime soon. So
never at this rate, never.
Yeah. Speaking of music, Beyonce released Renaissance. You know, I've only heard a little bit of the album. I haven't actually listened to it. Like, I mean, did either of you listen to any of it?
No, I'm not a big Beyonce fan, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, I've only listened to, like, you know, her really big hit songs, you know, from her earlier albums, but I haven't really listened too much of her newer stuff because I'm not a member of the Beehive, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard, like, there's, like, some, like, I mean, I know, like, it did get some good reviews, but I've also heard, like, some people giving it mixed reviews. I mean, especially, like, some of the first songs that came out off of it as, you know, the singles that, you know, to help promote it. So, okay, so next thing is, of course, the death of Queen Elizabeth.
That was very sad.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, we did an episode on this. It was episode 62. I mean, you know, so we already said mostly what we had to say in that episode, but, you know, yeah, I mean, for a lot of us, you know, for the three of us, and, you know, I'm sure for a lot of you listeners, she was the Queen of England and the only ruler of England that we knew.
Yep.
And, you know, her son has very big shoes to fill. Yes. And of course, right. And I forgot the exact date, but I do remember that they did announce that the coronation was going to be in May of 23. So they're not going to make him wait an entire year like the queen had to after her father died, if I recall correctly. But, you know, It is, you know, it is the passing of the torch. It is centuries of tradition being shown to us. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, I mean, again, we kind of covered this, but it really is amazing, like looking back on her life and how the world really changed, you know, all around her. And she was the royal to help modernize the royal family, because, I mean, you know, just the fact that her coronation was the first one to ever be televised, you know, for millions of people to watch at home, is already like a super modern thing. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, she did keep up with technology and other changes in society. I mean, like, you know, she does like her annual Christmas speeches on television every year in the UK. And, you know, even during the pandemic, she was like doing Zoom calls with obviously a lot of assistance from, you know, her staff and her daughter, Princess Anne. But, you know, she kept up with the times. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And quite a few people who follow the royal family have said that, like, we are just probably never going to ever see a royal like her ever again. Mm-hmm. So, farewell. Next on the list is the death of Bob Saget. I still can't believe it happened this year, but it did.
It was early this year, though.
Yeah, January 9th.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's very early this year. It's hard to believe it's been almost a year. I mean, it's been almost a year since Betty White passed, for God's sakes. I mean, granted, she passed last year, but it's been almost a year. I'm like, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very sad. Very, very sad.
Yeah.
You know, you just never know what will happen to you tomorrow, next week, a year, 20 years from now. So I guess if there's one lesson to learn out of all that is that, you know, you should appreciate the people around you and just know that, you know, no matter how good or bad things get, you know, you're alive to experience it. So.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Next thing on the list is Bennifer Wedding. I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't want to be cynical about this, but, you know, we'll see how long this lasts. I mean, that's just the thing with the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's the third iteration of Bennifer.
Yeah.
We had the original Bennifer, then we had Bennifer 2.0 with Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. And now we're back to the original Bennifer, but now I consider it Bennifer 3.0.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, all really suspicious to me, because it was like, you know, obviously Jennifer was engaged to A-Rod and they broke up. And it wasn't long after she broke up with A-Rod that she started hooking up with Ben again. Like, it literally was like weeks. Like, you were an engaged woman and then you were dating your ex-boyfriend like in a matter of weeks. So like, it just seems really suspicious to me, and part of me thinks that it is more for show than for actual love.
Yeah,
right.
But, you know, we will, I mean, not that we're like super following it, but, you know, we'll keep an eye out on this one. Although one thing I didn't know, though, was that she actually legally changed her name to, like, Jennifer Affleck, apparently. Not that, like, that actually, you know, makes a difference, because we still call her Jennifer Lopez, J-Lo. So. Yeah. Okay, so number 19 on the list is the Wordle craze. I've played it a few times, but, like, I don't know. I just never got into the habit of, like, regularly playing it. So it's been like, a few months, actually, since I played it. I mean, what about you guys? Did you guys, like, get into it?
Yeah, I play it every day.
What is it again? I'm sorry.
Wordle. So it's, like, the New York Times, and it's, like, you have to guess a five-letter word with no hints, and you have five tries to try and get it.
Nope, I don't play that.
Yeah.
It's exciting when you get it in like the second or third try.
Yeah, that actually happened to me a couple of times that I did it. It was really funny when that happened. I was like, what? But yeah, like I said, I didn't make it into a habit to play it every day. So, you know, it really has been months since I played it. There you go. And then to close things off, Adam Levine's adultery scandal. I mean, I don't particularly love Adam. I didn't particularly hate Adam. But, you know, weirdly enough, I'm somehow not surprised that that was going on. Just because it's like, I do remember him when he was a judge on The Voice. And I did remember how I thought, like, he really is pretty smug, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, when, I mean, listen, the man is, again, very, very talented. But it's pretty sad when people know him and forget that he's one member of Maroon 5. You know, yeah. It's like the rest of the band kind of gets like forgotten about. It's only about Adam. So I guess he just got a really big head. But obviously his wife doesn't care, because after this whole ordeal, like they went, you know, they made like a statement together. They've been seen together. So she obviously doesn't care that much.
Yeah.
I mean, it is all speculation, because part of the problem is this was all through like DMs. And there's actually apps that you can make fake DMs and make it look real. Like even text messages, you can make anything look legit. And it would be hard to prove.
Yeah. I mean, like for any of you guys who are into reading fanfics, if you've ever come across social media, alternate universe stories, especially if you happen to also be Tumblr users, clearly the writers use like those special apps that lets you fake, you know, Twitter feeds and Instagram posts and text messages, like Sam was saying, you know, for the purposes of writing the story. I mean, like I've read a few, you know, Marvel fanfics that were like that on Tumblr, and I thought they were really entertaining and funny, but I was also equally impressed with the fact that like, yeah, this tweet from, you know, Bucky to Steve look like an actual, you know, Twitter, you know, conversation or text conversation or chat room conversation, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why, like, whenever I see any quote unquote evidence of like DMs and stuff like that, I have to speculate, because it's very, very easy to create that stuff now, which is a dangerous situation.
Right. And also, you know, I mean, obviously we can't say one way or another in the case with Adam, but, you know, you just never know if, like, let's say it was a real DM conversation. How do you know certain bits of the conversation wasn't being taken out of context?
Right.
And that covered the entire list, more or less.
Yeah.
And obviously there's things that we didn't cover, but, you know, that's, I think, covered most of, like, the really important stuff that happened this year in pop culture.
Yeah. And, hey, if you guys felt like there was something that was not part of the list that, you know, should have been on the list or we should have talked about, you know, send us an email, threefacesaside@gmail.com, and, you know, let us know. And who knows, maybe in 2023, we will talk about them, because as we've said, like some of the things that we mentioned that were also on this list, we did actually do episodes talking about it or mentioning it. So, yeah. You know, if you guys end up having suggestions for what we should talk about in 2023, let us know. So, I guess before we close out, any last thoughts?
Happy New Year. See you in 2023, hopefully with a voice.
Yes. Yep. See you guys in 2023.
Yep. See you then.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Catch us next time. and see what we're going to talk about.
Because the three fates decide.
Are you ready to wow your friends with trivia tidbits about your favourite books and authors? Join me, Jess.
And me, Rachel.
On our new Book Trivia Podcast.
Each episode, we kick off with some fun book trivia, then dive into our featured read with plenty of juicy behind-the-scenes insights.
If you love books, authors, and a side of silliness, then why not give us a listen?
Find us at booktriviapodcast.com or on Reddit, Instagram, and Substack, where we are Book Trivia Podcast.